This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
To the book of Romans, chapter 13. I want to look at verse 8. Romans, chapter 13, verse 8. The word of the Lord says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to speak for just a little while from the subject, do you have this kind of love? Do you have this kind of love? Paul speaks to the church at Rome, and in this 13th chapter, he's setting the structure of authority and power, making it clear to the believer that God is in control and that everybody who is in position and in power is there because God permits it. He goes on and he helps them to understand that whether you like it or not, it is God's doing. And God has permitted them there and for the reason of his own choosing. A lot of times we don't understand why God does what he does, but may I say to you, my brother and my sister, that it's always for his glory and for our good. Knowing this, we need to understand that he's placed in structure a standard by which we ought to live. And then he put people in place to keep the order of that standard. And so therefore, when we obey the laws of the ones God has placed in position to carry out his will, to carry out what he desires, then he places them there to make sure for those who rebel against and go against and turn against his way that they suffer damnation. He goes on in this 13th chapter to deal with several other issues. He deals with the fact that the police, the military men, the parliamentarian, etc., are all his ministers to bring justice to his structure. In other words, he does not just have a law that has no power and ability. He puts the law there, but then he puts the law keepers there. They are the ones who enforce the laws. What good would that be if we had laws and we could break them and nothing happened? People would disrespect and disobey the laws until the laws would be worth nothing. So God says, in essence, these who keep his law are his ministers. And then he moves on to give his... You ought to pay tribute to whom tribute is due, custom, to whom custom is due. And then he says, and to give honor to whom honor is due. He deals with a myriad of issues to help set the structure in place. And then in verse 8, he says, now owe no man anything but to love one another. Listen, for he that loveth another, listen, hath fulfilled the law. Now listen to this, because what I want you to see and grasp about this word is this word that he deals with in this 8th verse, this word love in the 9th verse, the word love in the 10th. It comes twice in the 8th, once in the 9th, and twice in the 10th verse. Is all talking about agape love, the God kind of love. This is not left to human love and emotions and feelings, because those are very weak and they're temperamental, and they are insufficient to be in and of themselves an end to a means or a means to an end. And so you need a stronger love to carry out what God is issuing before us. And so to understand the agape love is to understand that the reality is, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, what that literally means is, we've got our beginning, we got our existence from the God of love. Because he loved us so much, he gave us life and an opportunity to walk in the fullness and newness of life. That love that was extended to us must now be extended through us to others. What's important is he needs us to see the God kind of love at play. You see, there are sometimes, my brothers and sisters, our love can't help us even with folk we love. Sometimes the folk you love the most in the world get on your nerves so bad that you say things and you'll do things, and that love can't hold you so that things work out well. But God's love can. His love is so strong that it can even hold you through an enemy attack. It can even hold you when folk lie on you, when they talk about you. Yeah, when they do you wrong and all of these things. His love is the kind of love that Jesus said we must have. And if we have the love that he has, then we are able to endure all things. If they hate you, know that they hated me before they hated you. So if you want to know how Jesus made it, he made it through divine love. See, love don't keep records, divine love. There ain't no, all right, I hear you. This, that, and the other. Okay, good. One more time. You may not physically jot it down, but everything in your mind. That's why you ever notice love, folk, or folk in love, man, one partner would be there just, you know, all right, I ain't gonna take the all right, all right. Just, all right. And then, man, you say one thing and they blow up, boom, and stuff from 10 years. They keep on going until another thing gets on to another, till they just stop saying another thing. They just think about it and just blurt it out. Why? Because they've kept record in the natural love. But divine love won't let you keep record. You see, because what you need to realize is you can't handle the things of this world with love that's temporary. You've got to be able to handle things of this world with a divine love. So he says, owe no man anything. And that word anything literally means, you know, let's just talk for a moment, money. You know, one of the worst things you can do is mess up a friendship or a relationship by loaning folk money. You know, if you really can't afford to bless them and give it to them, if you really can't just say, listen, I know you're struggling, I know you're going, and that bothers me, because, you know, when folks see that you're in need and you're doing well and you got surplus and you can't be a blessing to a in the faith, and you choose not to, and to put usury or interest on the money for a brother, you don't just ask back for your money. Well, what you gonna put with that? You can put a little interest with that, ain't you? You know, I mean, you don't even ask just for your money back to help them out. You add a burden further to that. And listen, people, they may not say it right then, but they begin to resent you. Because depending on where they are and where they have fallen to, you're going to notice that there is a mental, emotional, and psychological change that happens. And it's hard to love somebody you feel is keeping their foot on your head. It's hard to love somebody who can help you and see you need help and won't help you. It's hard to love somebody whom you have spoken to your concerns and your issues, and they walk away like they didn't hear what you just said, when they have the means and wherewithal to help you. And see, when you start dealing in that arena, it changes how you deal with that person. And so, you know, the Bible says that the borrower becomes slave to the lender. And so what happens is your relationship changes, and you know, if you miss a payment, it's on. And you know, if you miss a payment, you're going to hound me down for this little man thing, hold up, you know. And it's like, now it's your responsibility to say, listen, things didn't work out, I'm running a little short, here's my situation. But because of the way you feel, and you already felt like they should have given it to you instead of loaning it to you anyhow, you develop an attitude about it. But now I'm just talking about money, but the word don't just talk about money. It says anything. Whether you're talking about love, whether you're talking about respect, whether you're talking about any other means or motive, it's talking about, owe no man anything but to love one another. Love one another. In other words, the best kind of friend is a friend who don't need you for what you got. When you get one, they can get one too. And if they don't have one, it's just because they don't want one. Not because they're hoping something will happen to you in no situation, but it's just not their desire. And see, listen, when you have that kind of relationship, you don't hate on folk and envy folk and are jealous of folk and act funny with folk because they choose to get something that you don't like. It's just not what you like. And so it never affects your love. But the godly kind of love gives you the ability to celebrate when they celebrate, to weep when they weep, and to be a supporter of the things that blesses their lives. Not, man, look like she always getting blessed and don't look like nothing ever good happened to me. I don't ever win. I don't ever get this. I don't ever this. I don't ever. And so you start looking down upon. Listen to this. The word says, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now it's trying to show you the power of godly love. If you love another, then you have captured the essence of what godly love is. The truth of the matter is, we in and of ourselves are selfish. And we really don't have a lot of room in our hearts for nobody but us. And maybe if we extend it to somebody else, it's somebody else who can do something for us. But when you love with the love of God, the godly kind of love, then that is a love that reaches beyond self and expresses and extends the love that God gave to you to someone else. You become an extension of God's love to the world. And that's what God is looking for people who can be an extension of Him. He freely gave us, we ought to freely give. He freely loved us, we ought to freely love. And so when we learn how to love with the God kind of love, things change. Look at verse 9. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now look at what he says. For this, for what? For this godly kind of love. For understanding that you owe no man nothing. You are not under warrant to do stuff that you're not supposed to do because you got to pay somebody back. Listen, he says, for this thou shalt not commit adultery. Then he says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not. Now listen at this. And if there be any other commandment, it is, listen, briefly comprehended in this saying. What? Namely, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now let me do this right quickly, because in this word, here's this love again, the agape love that you must have. But there are three things I need you to see in this verse. First of all, this is dealing, when you have the godly kind of love, the Bible talks about it is the fulfilling of the law, speaking about the Ten Commandments. All right. When you love God with God's kind of love and you love man with God's kind of love, then you will not commit adultery. Because what does that mean? That means that you are cheating on your husband or your wife or with somebody else's husband or with somebody else's wife, which means that you're hurting somebody else in the process. If y'all don't say amen right here. And so your divine love won't let you hurt folk just for your feelings. You learn three things about this text here. It is really talking about the God kind of character. God's kind of character. This kind of love includes and incorporates God kind of character. Listen, then thou shalt not kill. If you've got the godly kind of love, then you're going to let anybody bring you to that point where you kill somebody. Because the love of God won't permit that to happen. You won't get so hot under the collar and lose your control and go off to that degree where you feel that's the only end to an answer. Now listen, there is a grave difference between the way the world thinks and the way the Word speaks. And we've got to make a decision on whether or not we're going to buy the world's philosophy or what God has to say about the matter. Now listen to this. So therefore, he's saying, with my godly character, I won't kill folk just because I am permitted to buy a gun and have a permit and use it with somebody if I feel threatened. Can I give you a helpful, holy hint? every day of your life, you ought to be in a situation where because you represent Jesus, the enemy is trying to take you out of here, and you recognize that you're a threat to the kingdom of the enemy, and therefore as a threat to the kingdom of the enemy, he's got you. And every day, if you're worth hitting, the only reason why you ain't on this hit list is because you ain't worth hitting. You ain't stopping nothing. You ain't shaking nothing. You ain't bothering nothing in his kingdom. You ain't turning folk around. You're not getting folks saved. You're not showing people the way. Are y'all getting quiet on me here today? You're not doing anything that's making the enemy's kingdom dissolve in the earth realm. So he don't lose his time with you. He musters up trying to get all his strength to take out those of us who are. He said, thou shalt not steal. Your character won't let you steal. It doesn't matter whether or not no one sees you. You're at your job by yourself. You got all this extra, this surplus. Oh. Oh. Yeah, one for you, one for me, two for you, one, two, three, four, five for me. You know, ain't a big deal. They got more than enough. More than enough. That's how you see it with the ungodly character. But here's what you need to know. It don't belong to you. I don't care how much surplus they have, it does not belong to you. And so that is not how you would act, having the godly kind of spirit. Well, it goes on to say, thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, here's what's interesting about false witness. A false witness is not just someone who makes a false statement. But a false witness is someone who will repeat a false statement. Did you get what I just said? How many folk lives have been ruined and messed up because you repeated a lie? You didn't have the godliness to check out the story, if you were that interested in it, to see if it was so. But it just sounded like it was so. It just felt like it. They looked like it. I believe that. And you let it go on what someone else has lied. And here's the problem. The person that you heard it from, you already know is a liar. They know everybody's business but their own. Or for you said, dog, bring a bone here, cow bone. And so what you miss is you've got to consider the source. Even if it is true, it's not up to you to spread more. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves. Every time somebody comes to me and tell me, I ain't gossiping, Pastor. Okay. Well, unless you're talking about you, you're gossiping. Because what a lot of folk don't realize is every time somebody comes to tell me something about somebody else, 9 out of 10 times somebody has come to tell me something about them. So a false witness is not only someone who just makes up a lie, but someone who spreads a lie. And the bad thing about it is that they don't even give it a moment's notice to check out to see before they ruin that person, to check out whether or not it's so. And then lastly, covet. Thou shalt not covet. You should not desire in your heart what belongs to me. It's all right to want one like mine, but not want mine. mine belong to me. And when you realize that the more you think about mine, don't get yourself hurt. Because God don't play that. Let me help you understand something. God will let you have some of mine and tear your life apart because you can't handle mine. Y'all ain't get, man, oh, you just, oh, if I had this, really? Really? You really? Now, you know I've told this story 1,000 times, but I'll tell it 1,001. The story about Mary, this man was in love with Mary, and he loved Mary so much, but Mary didn't want him. And he wound up cracking up, being placed in an insane asylum. And there he cried, "Mary, Mary, you know I love you, Mary, Mary, Mary." For years he did. Another man came, "You know I was locked up." He said, "Sir, are you talking about Mary?" He said, "Yes, I love Mary." He said, "Are you in here because of Mary?" He said, "No, I'm in here because I didn't marry Mary. I loved Mary with everything in me." And the man said, "Why you want to know?" He said, "What are you in here for?" He said, "I'm in here because I did marry Mary." Mary was something else. I'm just trying to tell you, God knows what best suits you, what best fits you. You can want some stuff that's too much for you to handle, but when God gives you yours, it fits right. You flow right. It's good for you, and you're good for it, and it all works out. But you can't just want everything you see. So poverty is a terrible spirit of the enemy.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
William Murphy, can you help us sing this?
Next level.